America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
From far beyond the galaxies, I've journeyed to this place to study the behavior patterns of the human race. And I find them highly illogical. Girl meets boy. They fall in love. She says he's everything she's dreamed of.
But when they get married, before he's aware, she changes his habits, the way he combs his hair. She changes him to someone he's never been, and then complains he's not like other men.
Now really, I find this most illogical.
Okay. Live long and prosper, Leonard. Live long and prosper. Leonard Nimoy did, and at age 83, Mr. Spock has passed. Face of this character has been easily recognizable for decades and decades to come. Godspeed, Leonard Nimoy. You finally made it to the stars. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. Larry Adams with you as all eyes are on CPAC and the cavalcade of Republican presidential wannabes trying to out-talk each other. Hope you're ready, folks. Hard campaigning is coming up sooner than you think. It's exciting, but I hope you have the stomach for what you're going to be fed. As always, our host will be here to help you digest it all, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thank you so much, Lair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us here on Friday afternoon in Central Florida. That's right. You got the American Adversaries. It's drive time once again on AM 660, The Answer, as we come to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please don't forget, for the very best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. And don't forget to ask him about his book, Mercury Free. And it is Friday, so that means Dr. Ken V. Heck is with us today. Hey, Dr. K.
Hey, I am actually in studio and on time.
Traffic must be flowing easier today.
I left my house at 2 o'clock today, and I got here 15 minutes ago.
It's great to have you back on the show again
here
with us. And, folks, you can join us as well. 407-774-8255 is the number, of course. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. So you'll be in good hands when you call us up. Nostra Dennis will be joining us a little bit later on. Got a lot to talk about here today. Don't be surprised. What we need to do is find out who was around Leonard Nimoy, the last person he was with, and make sure they don't start acting, you know, sort of strangely.
Oh, like Bones did.
Remember Bones.
But what a...
Chris, get your hand off my shoulder.
Cut that out. You two want me to leave?
Oh, no.
No, please don't.
Yeah, Joe Biden's trying to do the Spock pitch on the guy's wife.
But, you know...
Both shoulders, too. Yeah.
Can you think of another, though, series that has touched across so many generations than Star Trek? And the characters with the original series, of course, are the ones that still carry the movies today, really.
Yeah.
And, of course, Leonard Nimoy as Spock. You know, we were just talking about in the pilot episode, in the first couple of episodes, he wasn't the Spock that we kind of now know.
Yeah,
he was a little bit more excitable boy.
Yeah. But what I find interesting about that, and I think you're right, it is probably the only series that defines, you know, all these decades, and from the 60s until now.
Right.
But here's the other thing. You have, what are the other ones, Star Trek Enterprise, you have Star Trek,
Deep Space Nines,
and Voyager.
Yeah.
But can you name those characters?
No.
No.
They were all rather forgettable.
You can name Kirk, and you can name Picard.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can name
because
from
were
the next
the
generation data and stuff. Exactly.
I think anybody that was on the Enterprise, it was a new one or if it was the old one, those are the ones that everybody remembers. Oh, the other ones were in between, were fillers, but you still watched the old series before the new series kicked in.
Right.
And even then, you go back to the old series. It's just, it's so classic. Well, it's so timeless.
I sure like Number Nine's outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, that was the only reason to watch that show.
I'd have voted for her.
Well, I tell you what.
Instead of her husband.
That whole situation there has a lot to do with Barack Obama being president of the United States.
Unfortunately,
her husband was running against him. Was it for the House or the Senate in Illinois?
They dragged a nasty divorce out in public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what was supposed to be confidential records made it into the public.
And, so how'd that happen?
I wonder. And there was little old Barack on the other side just smiling away saying, vote for me, folks. Yeah. I don't have no scandals in my background.
I think that the rest of the voting people up there looked at that and said, you're divorcing her? What kind of idiot are you? We're not putting you in the Senate.
There you go. That's right. Yeah, that actress.
I can say that. Dr. Bernadette's not here today. She'll slap me when I get home for that one.
She'll bring you back to reality, so to speak. Sort of sad day, obviously. Yeah. You know, Leonard Nimoy was very old, and he had a long, very successful career. He lived long, and he prospered.
Yes, he did.
So
that character made that man a fortune.
Indeed it did. And he didn't walk away from it. He embraced that character, didn't he, or did he?
Well, he did it at first. He distanced himself by writing the book, I Am Not Spock.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
You know, so 10
well,
years after.
He couldn't get any work.
Well, yeah. And if you read the book, it wasn't that he was denouncing it. He was just saying, hey, I have other talents.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what else I've done in my career and all the other things.
Shatner was basically saying the same thing on Saturday Night Live, you know.
That was a great night.
Yes.
Yeah, get a life.
All right. So, okay. So Leonard Nimoy passes this morning, I think wasn't it?
Yeah. Right. Did you see the series that Picard did or Patrick Stewart did about captains of the Enterprise?
No, but I've heard about it.
It's awesome. I highly recommend it to anybody that's interested in Star Trek. Go back. Because Kirk finally realizes, you know, wow, yeah, okay, I am the captain of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
And it's a great honor to have done that.
All right. Pretty cool. All right, pretty cool. Dr. K, a couple of weeks ago, we were at the Lincoln Day dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Orange County Republican Executives Committee. It was a great evening there, and I want to thank OCREC once again for having us. We saw Rand Paul speak that night.
Yes.
And although, you know, he spoke not from one note, he didn't use a teleprompter, it was entirely, you know, from the heart, and it was good for what it was. Nonetheless, I came away walking away feeling that I don't think he's going to be the strongest candidate. What did you feel?
No, I didn't see the regalness. I didn't see him carrying himself in a presidential way. Yet
he's not likable.
He's
a good-looking guy,
far.
But he's just not personable that I found.
All right, have you ever seen the show The Mentalist with Simon Baker?
No,
no. Okay,
I've heard of it.
He reminds me of that character.
Okay,
because he's very intelligent,
right?
A little aloof,
yep.
And hard to get close to,
right?
And that's exactly what I thought that night was.
And as you say, that's not quite the presidential persona that people are going to want to gravitate toward.
Yeah, it's not the one that can draw people in. It's not the flame that's going to attract the moth.
If you can't connect with the crowd, how can you connect with a country?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And he was well received, but just, you know, you didn't walk away with your heart going pitter-patter. Yeah.
Right.
You know?
And here's one of the things that bothers me, and maybe it shouldn't. I don't know. You guys tell me. Recently, there was a picture of Barack Obama in the Oval Office with his feet up on the desk. He didn't have shoes or socks on. Okay? And that bothers me. Reagan wouldn't take his jacket off inside the Oval Office.
Exactly right. He wouldn't let anybody else do it either.
Okay? Now, Rand Paul showed up for this dinner. It was supposed to be a gala. He was the keynote speaker, and he shows up wearing Docksiders, dress jeans, a button-down shirt, and a corduroy coat, corduroy jacket.
Yeah.
I don't think there's something I want to listen to there.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it was not the appropriate dress for that particular event.
Yeah.
Some campaign.
No crease in his trousers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Some campaign events, you know, that would be great.
Yeah, if he was like me and put a crease on the front of his jeans, okay, I can get away with that. That's an old Navy habit.
Hey, I strapped on a tie that night. Why couldn't right?
You and I were both dressed up that night, and we looked good.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
We did.
We were sporting.
You had your clip-on ties?
Give it away.
And Carl was there. He was.
Yeah,
he was sporting.
He cleans up nice, doesn't he?
He sure does. Yeah. I tell you what. By the way, don't forget Carl's show tomorrow morning live at 8 o'clock, and I'm sure it's going to be another great one. That's Carl Jackson tomorrow, AM 660 live, 8 a.m. And in a couple of weeks, he is going to be at the Awakening. You're going to the Awakening, aren't you?
Did you have me listed to go to the Awakening?
Yeah, we got you listed to go to the Awakening. That's 2 weeks from tomorrow. It's going to be at the Faith Assembly Church on Curry Ford Road. That's not too far.
Right down the street from my house.
Yeah, and
I know where that's at.
The tickets are only $20, folks, and you need to get on the ball if you haven't gotten a ticket yet because the seating is limited. It's an all-day event from 8:30 to 5 p.m. Franklin Graham is going to be there speaking. Pastor Rafael Cruz will be there speaking. Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, and a whole host of others. And Carl B. is planning on doing his show as a live remote that morning. So it'll be a great opportunity to see Carl and Mickey do their show. So come on out and show up there. It'll be 8:30 to 5. Carl's show, of course, will be the same schedule, 8 a.m. So that's a good reason to be there early. Mm-hmm. The Faith Assembly Church, you can get your tickets by going to theawakeningusa.org. That's theawakeningusa.org. They have a phone number. If you'd rather call them, 877-810-1776. That's the phone number for the Liberty Council, 877-810-1776. And this is being sponsored by the Liberty Council. It's called the Awakening 2015, Rebuilding the Wall. And we certainly hope that we will see you there for that event.
It's a beautiful place. A lot of really nice-looking buildings on that campus.
Yes, do please come on out and visit us for that. Yes, CPAC is going on right now. You know, Rand Paul and all the others, as like Lair said, are up there speaking. I believe they're all going to be speaking for the CPAC conference. Jeb was today. Jeb spoke today.
He spoke today, yes, quite eloquently, they're saying.
I'm sure. We'll keep our eye on that. Probably talking about that more on Sunday night so we can kind of look at all the speakers in relation to one another.
Like one or two protesters walked out during his speech.
But did you see what they were wearing? The protesters. They were in costumes. He kind of wanted them to leave anyway.
Yeah, I didn't see it. What were they dressed as?
I'm sorry. You know, it's like, you know, how can you take somebody serious when they're dressed up in a costume? It's like, I'm walking out because this isn't me.
What was the costume? What was the costume?
It was really outrageous. Just a, you know, over-the-top kind of costume.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, there's the bell. That means we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Let them off the mat.
We'll be right back after this short break. Please don't go away.
Time to wake up.
You knock upon my mind, and you beg to borrow a cup of wisdom. You've come to seek the truth, to ask me where it's at. I thank you for your confidence in me, and yet, you see, I cannot draw for you in black and white. I, too, have been a prospector, wandering through the maze, buffeted by the storms and jagged rocks of life that tore the nerve ends of my hopes and dreams. And like yours, my skin was much too thin to shield me from the inroads of our times. The big machines, the strangling crimson tape, the hate-filled moats that keep us from the other seekers, searching too for the road to where it's at.
And the road to where it's at has led
double
you,
negative.
As you led you to the American
Theological.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm glad that part of Leonard Nimoy's career didn't live long and prosper.
Hey, he did a better job than Shatner on his album, for heaven's sake.
Oh, my God.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks, and live long and prosper. You're listening to the American Adversaries. 407-774-8255 is your number. Hey, if you want to call us up, up and tell us what was your greatest, your favorite Star Trek episode that involves Spock. We want to hear it.
Yeah.
The Horda.
No.
I like the Horda. He's reading it. Pain!
No. This is one where he had the 7-year itch.
That one's good. Yeah.
Amok time.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And the little woman who played the old Vulcan.
T'Pau.
What was that actress's name?
And who, she was married to Jose Ferrer, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, I tried one.
All right.
T'Pring was hot.
She played a good part, though.
Yeah, well, speaking of movie type things, we the other night were treated by the Arms Room guys in Salem to the American Sniper over at the Fashion Square. Now, you and I had already seen it before.
Yes. Okay.
Now, when I saw it again, it kind of touched me a little bit more on the emotional level. Did you have the same reaction?
I had the same reaction the first time I watched it. When you get to that final scene, it's just like, I wait. In any movie I go to, I wait for all the credits to roll, but this time I had to wait.
Yeah.
For the credits to roll, because you know I'm sitting there trying to compose myself, because you know the three other vets that I was with, the two other vets I was with, we've all lost people under our command, and when you see the end of the movie and the way everything transpires, and you just sit there and everything just flashes back, and it's one of those things where you just go, okay, I need to breathe.
Yeah,
I need to breathe.
Well, you know, I had left my Salem WRL folks had set up a table out, you know, outside the entrance to the actual movie theater inside the overall complex. And I had left a bottle of water out there when I went in. So I went back outside to get that bottle of water. And as I was starting to go back in the theater, a fella came out. This was about halfway through the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I just got to take I got to get a breather.
Yeah.
And I noticed he was wearing a hat and it said, Iraqi. It was one of the Iraqi missions.
Yeah.
I think he was Desert Storm. But there's a great deal of realism in that movie from beginning to end, not just what goes on over there in Iraq, but also what went on back here at home for him.
Mm-hmm. There definitely is. Having worked at the vet centers at the time that this war was going on, I dealt with a lot of guys coming back who, you know, had difficulty, great difficulty adjusting, you know, when they got back. Because this was the first time where we had people going back and forth so many times. In Vietnam, you'd run into maybe a few people that had done two tours. Much less that did three.
Right, and never four or five.
Yeah. We had guys come back that had done seven tours.
And Chris Kyle did four.
Yeah.
And
in a short period of time.
Right.
You know, if you look at that. But then again, he was a SEAL. So, yeah, they're going to be deployed a little bit more often and back and forth.
Right.
But the average soldier that was going over there, it was a year over, year back, year over, year back. And you sit there and you go, my gosh, how many times can you dip somebody into that vat of acid and expect them to stay the way they are?
Well, since you had to deal with these guys, how typical was it that they went through what Chris Kyle was going through? Chris Kyle, part of the reason that he was having such a hard time dealing with coming back is that he felt like he still needed to be over there.
Yeah. Yeah, because his job was to protect.
Right.
Yeah, that's what he does, and that's what he was trained to do. That's what I do best. Let me go over there.
Is that typical of?
Yep.
That's
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, these guys, in essence, have two families.
Mm-hmm.
They have their family, you know, back home and their family that they're deployed with.
Yeah. Well, we saw that when we were in peacetime for the most part that I was in. And our submarine crews, we had two different crews. We had a blue crew. We had a gold crew. They would have the boat for 16 weeks. We'd have the boat for 16 weeks or, you know, 20 weeks total, really, because we did off crew for 30
right.
days.
Right.
But you would be home for 3.5 months, and then you'd go back over and you'd share the boat for a week or so, and then, you know, they would leave and you'd take over the boat. But you're home for 30 days. You get 30 days off. That's Navy law. You get 30 days off. That's R&R to recover from the patrol. You get back. You do some training. By the time you're done with training, you're gearing up to go back over, and you're sitting there going, yeah, okay, time to go. Let's get on that boat. Let's go back out.
No.
You know, but I can't imagine the emotion that would be, you know, in a wartime when you're going back over, you know that this is what's going to be going on, and you're so used to it. The adrenaline is the one driving factor for a lot of these guys. That's why a lot of them come over here and they get the ninja motorcycles, or they go surfing, try to find 30-foot waves to get that adrenaline rush that they're not going to get because it's not going to be the same as being in combat.
Adrenaline's a very strong. Is it a hormone?
It's an addictive hormone. Yeah.
Okay. And as you say, it's an addictive hormone. Mm-hmm. And can that have a lot to do with them dealing with quote unquote PTSD?
Oh yeah, very much so, because they miss that. You know, they actually miss the thrill.
And see, I think that's what Chris Kyle was trying to do when he was working with these guys who came back, trying to give them another little taste of that mm-hmm. thrill, like it's seen in the movie where he takes them out and they're shooting.
Yeah, we're really good at training people to go to war.
Right.
We're not really good at training people to come back from them.
Right.
You know, in any one of our conflicts. You know, you go through the history of any military, you know, from the beginning of our country. It took our country 30 years to have the first parade for the Revolutionary War. You know, soldiers. I mean, 30 years. You know, we never did anything to integrate them back into society.
War is one of those things you try to forget.
Yeah, here's the rug.
Yeah.
Sweep it under. We're done.
Right.
You know, and one of the things that we've had trouble adjusting to with the guys coming back is now the culture's kind of changed for the America. It's one of these where welcome back, welcome home, thank you for your service. You know, there's a lot of us veterans that go, you know, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. Please stop saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not why I do this.
Well, right. A question maybe to mull over during the break, guys, is there is a move now to posthumously give him the Medal of Honor.
Okay.
At first, I was all on board with it. And then personally, I had to think about it. It's not an honor. It's not a Medal of Merit. It's where you put your life in a particularly dangerous situation, I think, Medal of Honor.
But
so anyway,
did.
When we get... See, I don't know.
But he did. He did. When and I believe the movie account was what I read in the book is that when he got his rival, he basically put him and the unit that he was with in a bad situation that they had to get out of. But he had to take this other sniper out because this other sniper was killing our guys at the same rate he was killing theirs. So he did put himself, and he also went house-to-house missions, which he did not have to do as a sniper. So, all right. Anyway, what's that? We'll be right back.
AM 660, The Answer.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart for SoundbiteRx.com, and it's Friday, so that means it's prayer day. So we will pray for our Muslim brothers and sisters who have been led astray by Islam. Today, we pray for Muslims in China. There are about 40 to 60 million Muslims in China. The range is wide because no definite census has been taken for some time. The highest concentration of Chinese Muslim population is found in the northwest section of the country, bordering the Central Asian republics, all of which are Muslim. While China has seen tens of millions of its citizens come to Christ in the last 30 years, the Muslim population remains virtually untouched by this move of the Spirit. Only a few scattered individual Muslims have placed their faith in Christ. There are no known churches comprised of Muslim background believers. Muslims, along with Tibetans, are the least of the least reached people in China. Today's prayer. We fall to our knees and pray to you, Father, creator of everything in heaven and on earth. We pray that from your glorious unlimited resources, you will empower the Chinese church with inner strength by your Spirit. We do believe that a Christianized China is poised to change the face not just of Christendom worldwide, but potentially of the world of Islam. Thank you for the Back to Jerusalem movement and their vision to go to various nations to evangelize. May they also bring their Muslim neighbors to you. Deliver your children in China from reticence and fear. Ignite their faith that the followers of Muhammad can be brought to the kingdom by the power of your Holy Spirit. Yes, help Chinese believers bring Muslims to Christ. Lord, help Muslims in China to see and feel the difference in the lives of Jesus' followers. May they become eager to know Christ and be filled with his presence. May they experience the power of Jesus living in them. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Take the case of your automobiles. Greatest invention since man discovered wheels. Hydromatic overdrive, four on the floor. Push-button windows, push-button doors. Double-barrel carburetors rush you any place, but you never can find a parking space. Highly.
Hey, that's a great bump for a drive time, isn't it?
Yeah, go to I-4. You'll find plenty of parking.
Yeah, there you go. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That was Dr. Ken Vihek. Dr. K is with us every Friday. Dr. Lair Adams is with us also, of course. I'm Christopher Hart, and we got our executive producer, Nostra Dennis, on the line. And don't forget, folks, every Tuesday is free Refresh Tuesday at Refresh Computers. And David Levitt, of course, is a great sponsor of ours. Please head on over there to any, well, actually, the Refresh Computers in Longwood between, let's see, between 430, it's on 434 between 1792 and Ronald Reagan. That's right over there in Lair's neighborhood, sort of. But,
I bet David was a Star Trek geek.
You know it.
He really got his start with computers. On Star Trek, man, that was
the new thing—a
computer you could talk to,
yeah,
and it would talk back to you, and it would do stuff for you.
Yeah, that's right. And how about the tricorders and stuff,
and then the medical stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
Neat stuff.
Yeah, Refresh Computers, free Refresh Tuesday. Take your laptop or your computer over there, and they'll freshen that thing up for you for no charge at all. Doesn't include virus removal, but they'll refresh your computer, no charge at all. If you want to give them a call, 407-478-8200 is the number at Refresh Computers, 407-478-8200. Make sure you tell them that you heard about it on the American Adversaries. And David, by the way, has been wanting to get back on the show, but they've been slam busy. That's great. But he will be back with us in the very, very near future. All right, but somebody who's with us right now, of course, that would be our man Nostra Dennis. Nostra Dennis, live long and prosper.
Thank you. And, you know, like you said, Leonard Nimoy did live long. He did prosper. He was 83 years old when he passed today. A couple of housekeeping items here. In 1997, he wrote that autobiography, I Am Not Spock. 10 years later, he wrote a book called I Am Spock. So I guess he finally admitted
he did.
Himself.
Yeah.
The character Jeri Ryan played was not called Number Nine. She was
Seven of Nine. Maybe a Beatles song or something.
Seven of Nine. Because she was from a Borg family, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Her real name was Annika Hansen. Her parents were scientists who were researching the Borg, and they got captured and assimilated.
Oh, boy, did she.
What's that actress's name, and what's happened to her since then? Do you know?
Jeri Ryan. She went from there. She was in the series Boston Legal for a couple of years, which is ironic because
Shatner was in it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And, right now, she is mostly retired, although she does do a little bit of acting from time to time. She is still a remarkably beautiful woman.
Yeah, indeed she is.
And now I have the last tweet that Leonard Nimoy ever wrote.
He was a tweeter.
Yes, he was in the Twitterverse, and on Sunday, in his very last post, he wrote this. A life is like a garden. Perfect moments can be had, but not preserved, except in memory.
Hmm.
How's that for kind of like his own epitaph?
I think he knew Dennis.
But that's a great way to summarize life. You know, that's why you got to cherish every moment, especially the good ones, because they are all fleeting moments. All right. Well, what was your favorite Star Trek episode there, Nostra Dennis, with Spock in it?
Now, I'll tell you what, the original series, I was a little kid at the time and was only marginally into it. It wasn't until I got into my 20s that I went back to the old episodes. I liked the Tribbles. The Trouble with Tribbles was a fun episode, and it was written by a guy named David Gerold, who graduated from my high school, East Meadow High School in Long Island. So I'm kind of close to that one.
All right.
I like that episode with, where his friend gets zapped. Sally Kellerman in it.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets the powers, and at the end of it, he basically digs his own grave. And
yeah, and then drops in there. The one I like with
that,
Spock.
That was the pilot of... One of the pilots, wasn't it? Wasn't that one of the pilots? That was one of the very first episodes.
That was one of the first episodes.
Yeah. Where they became gods.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I think that was Kirk's first episode.
That's what I mean. That was the first episode.
No, the first episode they aired was the Salt Monster.
Yeah.
I remember like it was yesterday, a Thursday night, came out at 8 o'clock. It was getting close to my bedtime. Yeah. But that was the first episode.
Was Kirk the captain?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. It was, yeah, okay. And Spock and McCoy.
Yeah. My favorite one with Spock in it, I think, is when they had the two... different worlds, and you had the badass, I'm sorry,
with a beard.
Spock.
Yes, yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Because he played such a cool, calculating, gotcha.
Right. I refer to it as Biker Spock.
There you go. It was more like, what was that, the arts guys with the goatees.
You know, the beatniks.
Beatniks, yeah, he was a beatnik Spock with the goatee.
That was the worst episode. the one with the hippies?
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
the space hippies. Yeah. That was, everybody agrees,
we're
that
going
was the
to
worst
Salem
episode.
Or whatever it was.
But you know, that episode actually was quite a powerful statement. Mm. Because those people were commies, basically, you know, and they were the represented the hippie movement.
Oh, yeah, they were going to just live off the earth.
Going to Eden, remember?
And Eden turned out to be a hell for them, didn't it?
Yeah, bite that fruit and just die. There you go.
Nostradamus.
Yeah, here's the most, the thing I take away from Star Trek is the most optimistic thing about the series and, in fact, the entire franchise is that it admits that there is going to be life in 2300, and human beings will have not killed themselves off by then.
Yeah, but they will still be the same. Remember the episode when they discovered, who was it, Ephraim, the guy that invented the warp drive?
Yes, Cochran.
Ephraim Cochran. They find him on a planet with this, what was it called, the Protector?
The companion.
And it was this like mystified creature who
was that pretty music when it came on.
Who was joining with Cochran?
Yeah.
And they discover that she was basically mating with him without him knowing it. Right. Yep, and he gets all offended, and they're going, "Hey, what are you worried about? I mean, she kept you alive and everything.
And you're here by yourself.
And he's disgusted. He's disgusted because he was from their past, and he said, "Haven't you gone anywhere all these years?" And that's the lesson, and that is that human beings are human beings. We have the same essential emotions and psychological makeup as the Greeks did 2,500 years ago.
Khan pointed it out, too.
Yeah, and another great episode, by the way, since you mentioned Greeks, when they had to go and serve Apollo.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Remember the last line that Kirk said after they destroyed the temple? And he said, they're back on the ship heading out. He goes, "But do you think it would have hurt us to gather a little sheep?" To humble ourselves a little bit.
They wiped out the whole race. He was the last of his kind.
Wow.
And really, isn't that what made this series so enduring, Nostradamus? Yeah. Is because it did, in a very entertaining way, address some very deep philosophical and sociological questions.
Yeah, in fact, the first interracial kiss, as Johnny Gunn pointed out, was on Star Trek between
Kirk and
a hypnotized Uhura and a hypnotized Kirk.
Yep.
Well, they were under the power.
Yes.
Power.
Right. Yeah, the guy was...
The hoodoo. He had the hoodoo on him.
The mind control. Yep. Yeah, yeah. So.
Yeah, but the Klingons, the Romulans, they were all basically code words for the nations with which we were at war at the time. And it was a kind of way to make a political statement without talking about politics at all.
I tell you, I look at what's going on in the Middle East, and I liken it to exactly like the Klingons, because the Klingons were people who were constantly at war. If they weren't at war with somebody else, they were at war
with
one another.
Yep.
And that's exactly what's going on in that part of the world over there. It's very depictive of that.
Yeah, how do you talk to a Klingon? You don't be polite and ask forgiveness. You insult him, and then he respects you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Yep. Yeah, yep. Then we'd go up and do the headbutts. Remember the headbutts? Yep. They would go, whack! So
that was the next generation when they grew those things on their foreheads.
So, exactly. So we need.
But that's the way they always wanted them to look. if you look at the earlier scripts, they just didn't have the money to do all that
originally.
Costume and all
that makeup. But so I guess we need a president with a real hard head that he can go around headbutting some of these world leaders around there. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, we got one that's pretty dense right now.
He's got a hard head. He just doesn't use it for the right reasons. That's for sure. And speaking of the hard-headed president, what about these net neutrality rules, Nostradamus? I know it's a bad idea. Government picking winners and losers is always a bad idea. Dr. Ken's been all over this for a while now.
Mentioned it last week.
Yeah. What have you been able to glean since have the rules actually even been now?
They've been published yet.
They have not yet been published.
We don't know.
No, and in fact, yeah, here's the chain that has to happen. Now, this is not a done deal, and it is not the law yet. Mm-hmm. The FCC's rulings are going to have to move through the bureaucratic chain of command. The Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs needs to take a look at them. That could take as long as 120 days, but basically it's a rubber stamp. From that point on, though, they're going to be published in the Federal Register. And then it's probable that most, if not all, of the elements in these rules will be challenged in court. We'll probably see the mother of all court challenges on probably a dozen legal matters, according to one of the lawyers involved. Congress could also vote to nullify the rules. But, of course, the president could then issue a presidential veto. So
it's
going to be months, maybe a year or two, before anything starts to take effect.
Yeah. I think if we see what's going on in Congress right now, and by the way, they're voting, I believe, right now as we speak, or it might have just wrapped up in the House to extend funding for the Department of Homeland Security for 3 weeks. And then, of course, that would have to be somehow reconciled with the Senate bill, which goes ahead and funds it for the year. We can't count on Congress to do anything.
No, but let's hope the Republicans, if this goes through, can use it to, I mean, because young people are really upset about this. Some of the young people I've talked to, they want their government totally out of it. They look at it as Big Brother intruding into what they're into.
Yeah.
This can definitely be used against
and Dr.
the Democrats.
Kay, you seem to be, you've been watching this very closely.
Oh, yeah.
What have you been able to glean about it?
Well, I've been able to glean that a lot of these smaller companies are not going to be able to survive. I'm kind of likening this to when the airlines were deregulated. Everybody went, woohoo,
right.
Yeah, we have deregulation. What happened? All the smaller airlines, they ended up folding, and all the bigger airlines just ended up getting bigger.
Right.
So, you know, all the
until
the taxes,
some of them folded.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a
destruction.
And what Dr. K is citing is an example of what I call one of the perverse rules of politics. Because ostensibly, these rules are going into effect to level the playing field for the little guys.
Sure.
But what
sure.
it's actually going to end up doing is hurting the little guys.
Yeah. It's the affordable internet tax. That's what
exactly,
this is.
Because they will not be able to afford the money that will take now for them to pay for this sort of thing. So once again, it's just, this is why I say, the less government does for us, the better off we are.
Yeah. Name one thing that the government has ever taken over and made better. Think about that.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Is there any one industry that they've taken over and made better?
I certainly can't think of it right off the top of my head.
Let's go to the
phone line. So we got Al on the line.
Yeah, I got to think about that one for a month.
Yeah.
Al, live long
Maybe
and prosper.
Maybe Al can help us.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good
to
talk
to you. God bless you guys.
Thanks.
He usually does.
Dr. Ken, always a pleasure.
Al, pleasure to talk with you again, my friend.
Yes, sir. I'd like to relate what you guys were talking about, actually, to kind of like the oil industry as well. I mean, we could probably have gas at 86 cents a gallon if they would just get their noses out of it, out of everything.
You're absolutely right. Supply and demand would bring the price down.
Yeah, we need to, they need to. I mean, if we were smart, the people in America would raise up and say, you know what, we need to go back to the bare bones, constitutional requirements for the government, which is almost nothing. All they do is just make sure that the criminals aren't going crazy and, keeping them under task, and that's basically it.
And
what we say.
You're right, Al, because oil production, when you think about it, is part of our nation's defense.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. Because
we have a reserve.
But that reserve's only good for a month or two.
Yep.
We need to have that whole industry.
Not have the dependency.
Yeah,
that's what we need.
Yeah, Al, if you'll stay with us through the break, it'll be a short break, I promise, and then when we come back, we'll get your other comments, okay?
No problem.
Okay, and folks, if you want to join us, 407-774-8255. Don't forget, we'll be with you Sunday night. Dennis, do we have any guests on Sunday?
On Sunday night, we have Michael Sam Houston, another wrestling friend of Sonny.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. All right, so that'll be us Sunday night. Don't forget Carl Jackson tomorrow live at 8 a.m. When we come back, we'll have more of...
Sing it.
What is he doing now?
Sing it, Spock, baby. Sing it.
I was working in the lab.
Well, Spock was brainy. I bet she'd like him.
We got our brainy one here, too, tonight with us, of course, Dr. K.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's go back to Al on the line.
Live long and perspire.
Al, you still there? You wanted to say something about Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, I'm a young man, 28. I didn't know too much about him. I mean, he's a Star Trek guy. I was never a Star Trek guy. But I seem to notice, a lot of, when people die that are public figures nowadays, we put a lot of emphasis on it, which is fine, We've grown up watching them and stuff like that. My question is, was he a Christian guy? Because it wouldn't necessarily be such a sad day.
I think he was a Jew.
Putting that more into perspective.
Yeah, he's Jewish.
We believe he was Jewish, but you're right. Yeah, and that's why earlier in the show I was reluctant to say it's a sad day. He did live long. He prospered. He
had a great life.
And he's going to an afterlife.
Well, and I think that let's just put a different spin on that, Al. We're not sad for him. We're sad for our loss of him. And I think that's a better way to look at it.
Yeah, that's right.
We're missing him. Because, you always had this, they're going to do another Star Trek. He's going to show up again.
Right.
Because he was the one character that they made sure they put in a lot of the newer editions.
You saying that reminds me of my feelings about funerals.
Yeah.
Funerals aren't for the person who died. They're for us who are still living.
No, sure. They never are.
Exactly.
It's like you throw a party on the one day you know they can't show up.
Have a brass band,
Leave it to the psychologist to say the right thing, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
That's okay. When he gets home, his wife's going to kill him anyway.
Al, thank you so much. God bless you, sir. We appreciate you being out there.
Love the show, man. FreeKenHoven.com. Love you guys.
All right, Al.
Thanks, you, buddy.
All right, we'll do it.
Honest, honey, I was stuck on I-4 till 3 o'clock in the morning.
With number 11, 12 or 14. 12, what was 14. Her name?
Yeah, there you go.
I think it was more like 38.
Yeah. Nostradamus.
Whatever.
Nostradamus, you still there?
Yes, I am. As we learned from Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song, Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jews.
Yes, that's right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Real quickly, let's go through another couple of stories. Gray Goes Red, I'm calling this one. Do you know which one I'm referring to?
You're talking about 50 Shades of Grey, aren't you?
Yeah.
Did the big tank job.
Yeah.
It was still the number one movie at the box office last week. However, it went down 72% from its opening weekend. So it went from all-time highs to the all-time biggest drop from week one to week two, next to the Friday the 13th first sequel. So, I mean, they found that this movie was riding on top, and now it looks like it's not going to stay up. It looks like it's going to go right down.
Are those innuendos?
No, of course
going
not.
Down, staying up. Come on.
Nothing's in my window.
You're too good not to put that in there.
Well, meanwhile, our friend American Sniper is now in the top 50 movies of all time. It's probably going to end up passing The Hunger Games movie in a couple of weeks, and is going to officially become the highest grossing movie released in 2014.
Well, Dennis, last night, I will say I saw the best movie of this last year, Birdman. Have you seen it?
I haven't really
seen
it yet. Yeah.
It was the most awful piece of garbage I have ever seen. It was seriously so dumb. They get kudos because it was like they tried to make it like one shot. And yes, we know they didn't do it all in one shot, but they tried to have it all continue on as one. But it was terrible, and Michael Keaton was just Michael Keaton. It was nothing special. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was a movie about actors voted on by actors, so it's no surprise that it won the Best Picture.
Yeah.
It was awful. Well, it was just bizarre.
Take our advice. Don't waste your money on that trash. Go and see American Sniper.
It was trash.
Or 50 Shades of Grey. Bernadette and I saw that on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. now.
I'm sorry.
All right, that's why we had to go see American Sniper to get lifted up.
I hear you.
Well, now
I
let me ask you this, Dr. Ken. How many shades did you guys make it through?
We made it probably through the first 15 or 20
shades.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah. And then it all began to look the same.
Yeah,
huh?
Pretty much. By the end of the movie, you're like, please put your clothes back on.
We've seen that enough already.
Yeah, come on now.
All right. Speaking of putting clothes back on, some people want to get a bigger size pants, I understand, Nostradamus.
Well, yeah, here's a look at plastic surgery in the past year. You know, plastic surgery procedures in 2014 are actually down from the previous year. One of the few areas, though, that is up is plastic surgery to implant into women's butts.
Butt cheeks, yes, butt cheeks.
Apparently, bigger bottoms are up now, 44% over the year before. And I don't know, the industry as a whole would be sagging if not for the lift it got from these surgeries.
Well, Dennis, there are some women out there that suffer from flat butt. And, you know, that's the only way you can't work it on in the gym.
Nick, do you have any tone look back there you could use as a bumper?
He wants no part of this.
Look, Spock could solve this problem.
Now, wait a minute. Didn't Snooki or one of them just go through that and it didn't go so good, Nostradamus?
I don't follow those people. I don't know who Snooki is.
We'll have to ask Carl. He watches those kinds of shows. No, it was one of the Kardashians or something. It seemed like I saw something in the Inquirer or something going through
the
public.
They used the wrong lens when they were shooting her. They forgot to use the wide angle.
Hey, all I know is...
Isn't that like the Jersey... Girls or whatever. She's one of the Jersey things.
I thought there was this
Snooki.
I thought she was one of the Spice Girls, wasn't it?
No. That's,
I'm up on
that's
things.
Stinky
yeah.
Spice and Old Spice and everything.
Yeah. All
Spice forms.
All I know is that a little jiggle in the wiggle is a good thing. Nostradamus, we'll see you Sunday night.
No, actually, I'm not going to be there, but Johnny Gunn's will be projecting the past.
All right.
Johnny Gunn.
Join us Sunday night. Dr. K, thanks again for being with us
tonight.
Oh,
my pleasure. What a show. This is a lot of fun, guys.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us, and live long and prosper indeed.
To the stars.
Oh, yeah.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando, a service of Salem Communications, intelligent, conservative, AM 660.